Hey guys, my name is Will Baker, and welcome to the second episode, the second installment of CreatorCast. CreatorCast is a podcast where I interview people who create videos and post them online. This episode, I had the great pleasure of interviewing Trey Mo from The Trey Mo Show. Trey is a popular stand-up comedian and a popular YouTuber with over 140,000 subscribers, with some of his videos being titled The Five Types of Exes, Why Your Feet Look Like That, Dear Side Chick, You Know You're Broke When, and the famous McDouble. Trey also shares how he lost everything in a tornado and how what he found in the rubble outlined his destiny online. So without further ado, enjoy this CreatorCast. What's up, Trey?
It's going good, bro. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. So I think the story of how we met is worth noting at the beginning of this episode of Creators Cast, because it's kind of a funny story.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's very random, but I think, you know, everything in the universe is almost random when you look at it.
Hey, that's true. So I was, Bent Pixels, which is a company that I work for, they paid for me to go visit the YouTube space in LA. And so I, for whatever reason, got done early. And so I was like, you know what? I have time before I have to leave. I'm going to go walk Venice Beach. So I saw some street performers. Then I saw a guy with a camera, with a cardboard box, like the side of a cardboard box, with $2 question written on this. Do you want to kind of tell them what you're doing there?
Yeah. I do these things on YouTube. I got like this series called the $2 question. And I go about, and I ask people a question, and I give them $2. And the reason I give them $2 is because, like, I feel like they can't turn the $2 down. Like, a dollar you can turn down, but if somebody says, let me ask you a question for $2, like, you gotta do it. that's what I do. And I go around and if you can imagine, like, me with the, well, you saw me with the cardboard box cut out.
And, right.
It's a Sharpie, in a black Sharpie. I wrote, like, $2 question on it. So just me and the camera guy, and we go around and I just ask him questions with a mic.
Questions, $2, which is, it was really funny. And then I just stopped and was like, yo, you know, I work a lot on YouTube, and then we started a conversation, exchanged contact info, and here we are about a month or so later.
Right. Cause I think I saw your Auburn hat.
That's right.
That's what
it was. You commented on my Auburn hat. Cause you said you're from Birmingham.
Yeah, I'm from Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama. So when I saw that, I immediately, you know, immediately had to stop you.
Yeah.
Yeah, wore Eagle one time, even though I'm Roll Tide. But yeah, it was cool.
That's funny. So let's talk about the Birmingham days. Let's talk about your early life and kind of where you started and how you kind of grew up.
Okay. I grew up in Birmingham. It was cool. Like, I was the youngest. I'm the youngest of the house, so my mom and my dad split up, so then we went to live with my dad, me and my two sisters, and then he remarried, and then the lady he remarried had two kids, but I still was the youngest. So that's kind of how I grew up. I grew up in, like, I call it the Black Brady Bunch. You remember when they all came together?
Yeah.
It was a big house. A lot of people in the house, you know? So I grew up in a house full of like 7-8 people. But yeah, it was cool. It was cool growing up because you get like more personalities, I think, that way. You learn to deal with a lot of personalities when there's 7 people living in the house with you.
Right.
You just don't have any food left in the refrigerator. You put your leftovers in. But other than that, everything's cool.
I know that. I'm the youngest of 4, so I know that story as well. So what do you think kind of, like, video production, like, how did you kind of, like, find your start in that? Or what did you like when you were younger? Like, what did you do?
I didn't, like, purposely go out and find it. It kind of, like, found me. I was supposed to be an engineer when I went to college. I was supposed to be an engineer, electrical engineer. And I was doing this internship. And at the time, the internship was cool, but I didn't quite know if that's what I wanted to do. So I was in, because, you know, at 18, I don't think anybody's, like, almost ready to pick your career out. You know, at 18, I just kind of looked at the paper when they said pick a major. I looked at the salaries and was like, okay, give me engineering. Sounds decent enough, you know? So I'm in class or whatever. When I'm actually at my internship, and my mentor, I was in his office, and I saw like the pictures of his kids or whatnot on the wall, and I asked him like how long he's been at the job, and he said about 10 years. You know, he said he's been an engineer for like 15. So then I just kind of like saw my future. So I was like, I don't know, you know, I don't know. And I like engineering; it wasn't horrible. And I went to class like the next day. And when I went to class, my math teacher, he teaches calculus. He has like, he's Asian, but he speaks very good English, but he still has like an accent. So he sounds like a sensei. So like everything he say sounds wise. So he was like, he was just randomly talking to the class. And he was like, if you like basket weaving, you should be a basket weaver. Forget what your parents think. And I was like, oh man, you know what I'm saying? So, like, at that moment, I was like, yo, I'm dropping out. I don't know. It was random. I had an epiphany. And so, like, I dropped out. And at that time in college, man, I was broke. I was, like, super broke, rent due. I didn't have a car. So, at that point, I dropped out of college. But only I was only taking a semester off. So, I don't want to just say drop out completely. But you know how people say they go take a semester off. And then they never,
right?
They never come back.
Never come back.
Yeah, that's the oldest trick in the book. I'm taking a semester off, and then you never see them again. But I actually did take a semester off, and I got my stuff together. You know, I saved up some money, and then that's when I started like shooting videos for the first time. Once I saved up a little bit of money, I started this. I used my engineering skills because like I can take anything apart to see how it works, and I started like fixing Xboxes. And then I would fix them on YouTube. And so what I decided to do was to get like more people, I would make videos and put them on YouTube showing people how to fix their Xbox. And then the videos started like getting some heat. And then they started getting like millions of views. So I was actually one of YouTube's, before YouTube like let everybody be a partner, they like tested it out on 1,000 channels. And I was one of the like 1,000 that they chose. To test That's out awesome. The revenue on, yeah. So like before I started actually getting into comedy, like I was fixing Xboxes on YouTube, and I ended up making enough money. You know, I got back in school, I got me a car, rent was all caught up, and I went back to school the next semester. But I went back part time. I went back part time and an undecided major this time though. I didn't know what I wanted my major to be, so I went back as undecided. And when I did that, after I went back undecided, I was in class, and I never forget this. We had like show and tell. It was in a communications class. It was like show and tell. You know, you had to like bring something and tell how it works or tell why you do it. And this guy, he brought a Rocky. He cut up like this movie, Rocky. I know you're familiar with Rocky, right?
Yeah.
Rocky, this is the best Stallone. So yeah, he chopped the movie up, and he made it look like he was in a movie. And Rocky's like my favorite movie, right? So when I saw that, I was like, yo, that's what I want to do. I'm going to produce films and direct them. And that's kind of how I started. That's how I got into film.
All right.
And I changed my major to film.
So where did you go to school?
I went to school at the University of Alabama.
So you did go to UA?
Roll Tide. Yeah, I went to UA. I went to UA. Roll Tide, yeah.
And so you did graduate with a degree in film?
Yeah, film production. Then I got a minor in CS.
Uh-huh. So... real quick, just because I know there's a lot of people who are debating, like, should they go to school for film and stuff like that. Do you think your degree is actually, like, helping you a lot more?
You mean, like, in, like, the everyday adult life?
Everyday adult life and, like, YouTube-wise, do you think it's worth going to school to get a film degree?
That's a tough question because, like, school gave me connections.
Okay.
But I would say hands-on if hands-on, like, because you, depending on if you get a scholarship or not, you know, you school can be, it can run you in debt. You can graduate school on, you know, $30,000-$40,000 in a film degree, and we know what it's like trying to get a job with a film degree. You got to fight. So as far as producing films and directing films, I would say it's not necessary. It all depends on the levels that you're trying to get to. Like, I got one friend, he's out here. He, you know, graduated around the same time I did. But he's in grad school for directing at USC. That's in California, USC. I know you know that. I know you know what USC is. So, yeah. Yeah. But for the listeners, USC is Southern California. All right. So, he took a different route. And my father used to always say, it's more than one way home. And that's how I look at it. So you really got to go. If school isn't for you, and it just isn't for you, I would recommend you could try it on your own. Because you got plenty of dropouts that are directors. Mm-hmm. I hate to just say it like that, but you do. You have plenty of college dropouts that are directors. So I don't think it's necessarily needed. But the connections. If you notice, a lot of people drop out after they get the connections. But they meet who they're supposed to meet in college. Because it's hard to, like, if you just come straight out of high school, sometimes it's hard to meet who you're supposed to meet. Unless you go right to where films are being made. Like, if you're from Arkansas or Alabama, you know, that's like places where, you know, film isn't really that big. So it's going to be hard to, like, meet. You're not going to be able to just get on a film crew in Alabama unless it's, like, a news crew or something like that. Especially in the southern states.
Which still is pretty hard without a degree.
Say what?
It's still pretty hard without a degree.
Right, and it's extremely hard without a degree.
Right.
It's extremely hard. So it just depends on, like, if I graduated high school, right, and I wanted to take the YouTube route and say, yeah, I'm going to produce shorts on YouTube. Of course, you don't need a degree for that. But if I graduate high school and I say I want to work on the news, at the news station, I want to produce news, or I want to produce movies at a high level, then you may need to go to college and get that degree. Mm-hmm. So it all depends on where you want to venture off to and what you want to do.
Right.
Essentially.
And so let's take a step back from there and let's talk more about your first channel, which was Xboxes Fixing Them. So tell us the story behind that. How did you, like, you kind of told us briefly, like, how you started, where you just started fixing them, and then, but how did you actually, like, discover the platform, and what made you, like, you know, specifically, like, I can make videos on YouTube. It's not an issue.
Well, I started out, I used to, like, I can fix anything. Like, me being an engineer, like, I can take anything apart and then see how it works. Mm-hmm. So when I saw the Xboxes, I saw, like, they would break a lot. The Red Ring of Death, the disc drives would break. So I was like, okay, I could probably make some money. So I looked online, and then I used to code too. So I taught myself, like, how to build websites. So I made a website, and then people would search on Google, like, broken Xbox, and then my website would come up, right?
Right.
So at that time, Google had just bought YouTube, and they were throwing, like, YouTube videos in the search engine. They had just started. You know how when you search something, sometimes a YouTube video pops up on Google?
Right.
And that's what I had, you know, I discovered. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna make videos on YouTube. And now my first videos were kind of crappy. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like, they weren't the best. But, you know, but I got better and better. So I kind of, like, just went and bought me a camera, and then I started recording, and then I sliced them up, and I put them on YouTube, and they started getting views. So I was like, okay. And that's pretty much how I got to the platform. Off of Google search. I was like, let me try it. And then I remember when they first gave us, like, when Google, like, first allowed us to get paid off the videos, I was thinking I was going to, you know, get a lot of bank. I was like, yo, I'm about to be making a lot of money. And then, like, I remember, like, the first month, I probably made, like $15, right?
Right.
And I was like, man, this ain't nothing. You know what I mean? So then I didn't check it. I didn't check, like, my AdSense. And then I came back, like, 2 months later, and I had, like, $500 in there. And I was like, oh, snap, you know? So then at that moment, I was like, okay, cool. I'm making, be able to make some money off videos. And then that's where it all started.
Yeah, what year was that? Do you remember?
Yeah, that had to be, man, 2008.
And so, let's talk about the move from making Xbox videos to comedy videos. Because if we look at some of your channels, and for the listeners here, we have a few of Trey's videos include Five Types of X's, Why Yo Breath Smell Like That, The Truth About Valentine's Day, How It Goes Down, 1800 Smash Homie. Like, he's a funny, funny guy. And one of his largest videos is the McDouble, which is a rap video that it is rap, right? It's a skit. I was thinking of the...
It's a sketch, yeah.
About the McDouble off the dollar menu. And so, right. So how'd you make the transition from, I'm going to be an Xbox or repair or tech reviewer or whatever, to making comedy skits?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I remember I used to live with my roommates, and I always would write down. Like, I used to carry this book with me. and I would write down sketches. I would always write down sketches even before I knew I was gonna put them on YouTube. So always was a fan of comedy, always loved comedy. So once I realized I can make money off YouTube videos, from the Xboxes, I was like, hey, I'm gonna give it a shot with making making funny vids. But it really happened once I started getting into film classes, because you know I need to practice on my editing. So I was like, let me just, you know, make some shorts and then, you know, edit them up, throw them on YouTube. So once I did that, I started to get a little heat around campus with the videos. Somebody thought they were funny, and then, you know, they were like, upload some more. And then I uploaded, and I kept uploading. And then it just, it kind of like snowballed from there to the point where I was just, I realized like, hey, I want to do comedy. And then someone offered me like, I never thought like I'd be on stage telling jokes. But somebody offered me like, they asked me to host a show at school. And I was like, nah, you know, it really ain't my thing. And then they were like, yo, we'll give you $300. And I was like, yo, $300? What I got to do? You know, and they were like, just talk. And then I was like, all right, cool, cool, cool. So then that's what happened. Like, I got on stage. And from there, once I tasted the first little bit of stage, man, I was like, okay, this is what I want to do.
Right.
This is what I want
to
do.
So did you promote your video around campus, or did people just happen to see it?
I didn't. I put it, I would, like, post it. And then I noticed, like, it was getting shared on Facebook. And so once it started getting shared on Facebook, I would, like, post it on, I'll post it, like, on my friend's walls or whatever. And then from there, it kind of just snowballed. Because we all, I tell people this all the time, like, never be afraid, you know, like, to post your stuff. If you make it, you know, and you want somebody else to like it, you got to post it with confidence. So that's what I did. Like, I posted with confidence. But I never thought, like, you know, what happened, like, with me, you know, getting millions of views and, you know, 100,000 subscribers. Kind of just, it just snowballed and snowballed.
Right. And so then, now, so you're making videos. So we're at the point where you figured out comedy was the way. You had some money from the Xbox videos. You got a camera. You decided you're going to make comedy videos. Did you have your friends at UA, were they like, hey, I'll help you with a video? Or were they like, did anyone ever tell you, no, I won't be in a video?
Nah, at school, like everybody, like every time I tried to get someone to be in a video, they would do it. Like, they were very helpful. That's what I love about college. Like every, especially when the more popular I got at college, like the more they would want to be in the video. Like, I would get requests like, yo, when you shoot a video, let me know, I want to be in one.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So I was cool with that. College really helped me out. It helped like propel my career. Right. So I can't even lie. Like, I'm glad I went to college to get that experience.
Right. How long have you been out of college?
4 years now. Doesn't even seem like it, man, but 4 years. Coming up in August, almost 4 years.
Almost. So what was the transition from college graduate to Los Angeles?
Well, when I first, like, I say about 5 days before I graduated, or tornado came in Alabama. I don't know if anybody remembers that. Do you remember that when, like, the tornadoes came?
I remember.
Wild bet.
I remember that one time. I don't remember exactly when, but I remember on the news there was, like, a ton of tornadoes straight through, and it was, like, it was bad. But that might be it. I'm not sure.
It could be. And like, I lost, like wait, long story short, like, tornado came. And it took all of my stuff, like took my car, took all my stuff. Like what I had on is like that day was literally like what I had. So like, and that was like 5 days before I was supposed to graduate college. So I graduated with like the clothes I had on. Like, so that's how like I started, man. So like I went back out there and I like found my MacBook in the rubble. And then I found my camera. I had got this hard case. I had just bought a camera. Cause I was when I was about to graduate, I was like, I'm gonna go full steam with the comedy, and I had just spent like $3,000 on this really good camera, and it was like my last $3,000. Yeah. And the dude like persuaded me to get like the hard case, cause I almost got the soft case, but I was like, yo, I'm getting a $3,000 camera, I should get the hard case. And then that's what I ended up doing. I ended up getting the hard case, and I found it. It took me like 6 hours of searching, but I eventually found it.
Moral of the story, always buy the hard case.
Always get the hard case. It's like $25 more. Always get the hard case, man.
Always. So So right out of college, 5 days before graduation, you lose everything. Now, that's got to, I mean, I don't know what I would do. Like,
you would go to Walmart and you would get a toothbrush and some underwear.
That's the first thing.
But that was weird because, like, that was the question I was asked the most. It's like, what you gonna do now? You know, like, what's now? What you gonna do now? And I was like, man, I don't know. Like, that's a good question. Like, I literally didn't know. Because, like, you know, like, I haven't lived with my parents in 5 years. So I had to go back home. It wasn't like I had to go to class, like, the next day. You know, I was about to graduate. So I didn't get a chance to take my finals. You know, I had to, like, take them, like, online and stuff like that. So basically I went to my father's, I went back home and I, with my dad. I went back home with my dad, man, and I just I stayed with him for about 6 months. And I fixed Xboxes a little bit more to get some more money up. And then I moved out. I moved out of his house and I moved into an apartment. And once I got the apartment, like, things got a little rough after college. Like, I think that's where, like, the hardest times came after college, man. Things got hella rough. But then eventually, like, things picked up and my videos picked up a little bit more on YouTube. And yeah, so I moved to Atlanta and started doing stand-up. I was working at a stand-up club in Atlanta called Laughing Skull over on Peachtree Street.
Peachtree Street, that's not far from me.
Yeah, that's right. You're in Atlanta, so I was can't think of like the avenue, but it's right off Peachtree Street, so it was cool. Downtown. Worked at the Laughing Skull, the Vortex. So I kind of got to do a little stand-up there. And got my legs in there. We did some sketches, too. So it was cool. I had a good experience at the Laughing Skull. It was pretty cool.
Right, and so how long did you stay in Atlanta?
I would say probably like 6 months.
6 months. And so what inspired the move to Atlanta? So you're living in Alabama with your dad, and then you decide just one day to move to Atlanta?
Yeah, what happened was I was already like visiting friends, and I came down and I hit the open mic at the Vortex one time. And when I hit the open mic, I was like, yo, this was pretty cool. Like I kind of vibe with the comics that worked there. So I was like, I'm gonna move down. And I talked to the owner, Marshall, and he was like, yo, come on, you can come down. And so I moved in with my friend, and then I started working at the Vortex, with the Laughing Skull, inside the Vortex, so yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it was random, it was very random, like 1 week I was living in Alabama, the next week I was in Atlanta, just like that. Like, it wasn't like it was a planned move, I just, you know, moved out.
Right, and so 6 months in Atlanta, what happened next?
My manager at the time, I eventually moved back to Alabama. So I spent about 6 months in Atlanta. Then I moved back to Alabama and then I moved to LA. So I would say this was like in 2013, the summer of 2013, I moved back to Alabama from Atlanta. And once I did that, I was like, yo, I'm just gonna save up my money and then I'm gonna move to LA. So that's basically what I did. Like, I saved up, I scrapped, and I saved up as much money as I could, and then I moved to LA. And this was in 2014. So I saved up money for like 6 months, and in 2014, I moved to LA in January of 2014.
And so what did you do? Just like, were you still making money off Xboxes? Was it
Or? I had gave up. The Xbox stuff kind of ended in 2012.
Okay.
But I still would get like residual checks from the videos, the Xbox videos. But you know, like a new Xbox came out, so you know, it wasn't the old. You know, one I was working on was the old Xbox, but a new Xbox came out, and I didn't want to keep doing video games. Like I could have grew, you know, and said, you know what, I'm gonna evolve and you know work on a new Xbox. But I was like, nah, I'm good. I didn't want to do that. So I kind of let that die. And at this time, I was just making money off YouTube and off comedy, doing comedy shows. So I decided that the first thing I wanted to do was I just wanted to make money off YouTube, and I just wanted to make a living off YouTube and a living off my comedy when I first touched down in LA. And probably like I say, I was in LA like a month, and All Dev Digital. It's a YouTube network, All Dev Digital. that contacted me, and they was like, they wanted to do a web series. And so then I ended up getting some extra money from that. And then another company hit me up and was like, they wanted to do a web series. But I turned that one down because I didn't like, you know, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I didn't like, it didn't really fit me. Sometimes, you know, they had to do stuff that doesn't fit you, but it didn't really fit me. So I opted out of that web series.
All right. And so that's, you saved up and then you made the big move to LA. What do you think was the hardest transition from, you know, the East Coast to West Coast?
The transition. Well, first I had to get here. Oh. Like that was the hardest thing, man, was like trying to figure out a way, because on the down South, cause like in New York, the price of living is similar to LA. So the move from New York to LA financially, it isn't really a burden. You know what I mean?
Right.
But to move from Alabama or Georgia or, you know, the Southern states to LA, you feel it in your pockets because you know exactly what I mean. So
I know.
Like rent in Alabama was renting me like $600. I had 2-bedroom apartment, right? Living room, all that. In LA, it was like, you know, when I first got here, it was like $1,200 for one studio, you know, like for one room. And so I was like, wow, you know, like, so the price of living was so much different. And it wasn't like my income was going up, you know, it was like I was getting promoted to another job. I was still making the same amount of money off YouTube. So in the comedy show. So financially, I say the financial transition was the hardest. But I just fought through it. I actually only stayed in LA for 8 months. So I moved here in January, and then I end up moving back to Alabama in September. So this is actually my second. I'm in LA right now, but yeah, this is my second move. I went back to Alabama for like 6 months, and then I moved back to LA.
So why did you go back to Alabama? Was it like a financial thing or?
Nah, what happened was, because when I first touched down in LA, I was like, yo, I'm going for broke. Like, I'm not going to leave at all. Like, I had planned, like, if worst case scenario, like, I was like, I'm going to shower at the gym. real talk, like, I had planned out an escape route. I was like, because I saved up all my money, but I was like, if I go broke, I'm going to shower at the gym. I'm going to sleep in my car until I make enough just off YouTube to survive. You know what I'm saying? That's if things got, like, really, really rocking. I was like, I would shoot my YouTube videos at the Space Center. Or I would shoot them like in a hotel room, like maybe once a week I get like Airbnb and I shoot them at whoever place I'm living at with the Airbnb. But that luckily, you know, I ain't have to do that. You know, I was able to live in my apartment, you know, without like a financial burden. But my sister she was kind of sickly, and then she got pregnant. So then I went back home to like for family. So I went back home really for family. And then she had the baby. Baby's healthy. Everything was straight. So I went back home to help her out a little bit. And then I was like, when she's good, I'm going to move back to LA. And I was able to move back to LA.
Okay.
So I was able to make that transition back, man.
And now we're at present. So you've been in, you moved to LA, and now you're doing your day to day, making videos and doing comedy.
I moved back in April. So I've been here a few months, 2-3 months.
2-3 months. And so, what's the next step? What's next on the Tremo horizon?
To be consistent. Like, everyone asks me, like, what's next? But right now, I'm, like, at a stage where I just want to put out a YouTube video every week. And then I want to put out my Instagram videos, maybe, like, 3 or 4 a week. And I just want to be consistent until the end of the year. And then see what happens. And once I become consistent, things will be much clearer on what to do next. You know, and what moves I want to make. But I've been working on my stand-up. I go to clubs every week, and I try to work on my stand-up to keep myself sharp. But once I actually get consistent, I think things will get a lot more clear.
There you go. I like that. And what do you think made the biggest impact on your channel?
Well, as far as, like, view-wise, once I started actually learning the YouTube system, my first manager, she flew me out to L.A. back in 2013.
Uh-huh.
And they gave us like seminars on what to do, like how to make the thumbnails, like the importance of consistency, the keywords, the tags, the titles, how to make your channel stand out that people notice it. And so once they taught us all of that, I took it and I kind of like implemented it. I put everything in the system, everything they taught us, and then like my YouTube system, and then it worked. And so like my following like grew, I grew from like 50,000 to like 100,000 in a matter of months. But once I moved back to Birmingham, like I kind of stopped making videos for a little bit and it slowed down my channel. So now I'm about to come back at it again and see what happens.
Awesome. And so really just learning the system.
Right, and consistency. So once you learn the system, consistency is the key.
Consistency is key. And so what are, do you have any advice for new YouTubers and people who want to get to where you're at, want to get to the 100,000 subscriber mark?
Yeah. It's always weird because, you know, you say get to where you're at. It's almost like even though I look at my 100,000 and I know it's 100,000 people, it's almost like I haven't accomplished. Maybe because I'm not, you know, I haven't quite accomplished what I want to accomplish. But it always like makes me like second guess that people actually want to get there, because I know there's people out there right now like, if I can just get to 100,000, you know, and I made it to 100,000. Because I remember at one point I was that guy that was like, if I could just get to 100,000. But the advice I would have is we all start at zero views. We all start at zero subscribers. So if you just starting out on YouTube or you're trying to itch to get that, you just got to keep putting out vids and stay consistent. And try your hardest to put out good quality stuff that you can actually go back and watch years from now that you wouldn't be ashamed of. Because we grow as people sometimes. But I think the most important thing is to be consistent and don't get discouraged if it doesn't get the views you expected to get right out of the gate. Because we all start at zero views. We all start at zero subscriber count.
There you go. Keep pushing. Yeah. There you go. I like it. Thank you so much for joining us, Trey. It's been an honor being able to interview you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is actually my first podcast, and I'm like an avid podcast listener. But really? This is like my first time being on a podcast, so I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, no, thank you. And we are on iTunes, so when it's out, you can just share the link with all your friends.
I will. I'll send a link over, man. And thank you. Thank you a lot.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of CreatorCast. Trey is a really cool guy, and it's crazy how someone lost everything but found his computer and his camera in the rubble. That's destiny to me. You guys should definitely go check out Trey's channel. Simply go to TreyMoShow.com and it will redirect you to his channel. Also, make sure to follow Trey on Twitter and Instagram at TreyMoShow. Also, let us know who we should feature next on the show by tweeting at us at UREV Media. Again, that's at UREV_media. And follow me personally on Twitter at WillBakerYT. I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I can't wait for the next one. I will see you later, peeps. Peace.